السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، we return in today's session back to our discussion of the ahadith of the Arba'in Nawawiyya of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. In today's session we begin and pick up from the sixth hadith. And just a reminder of the fact that the ahadith that are present within the Arba'in Nawawiyya, as we mentioned previously, these are not random ahadith that Al-Imam al-Nawawi just collected because he liked these ahadith, or random ahadith that have in them a nice message. Rather, these are ahadith that Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he collected for the purpose of establishing the ahadith that the deen of Islam revolves around. And the ahadith that the deen revolve around, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he collected these ahadith because for this very reason. Although each one of these ahadith are all ahadith that Islam and the rulings within the deen of Islam revolve around, and they are therefore extremely important ahadith. And it is for that reason that our scholars, I mentioned that the book in terms of studying hadith, the book Arba'in al-Nawawiyya, is from the first of the books that the student of knowledge begins with studying, because he starts with the books that are small and comprehensive, and then he continues to advance in terms of his studying of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today's session then, we pick up from the sixth hadith that Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, and it is the hadith of Abi Abdullah Nu'man ibn Bashir رضي الله عنهما, he and his father were companions. He mentioned, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات. Hadith that is extremely popular and well known. The hadith of النعمان بن بشير, wherein he mentioned the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, indeed the halal is bayin, the halal is clear, and the haram are bayin, the haram are likewise clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ, between the two of them are ambiguous affairs. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ كالراعي يرعى حول الحمى يوشك أن يقع فيه ألا وإن لكل ملك هما ألا وإن حمى الله محارمه ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب. قبل صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that after mentioning the fact that there are between the halal, the clear halal and the clear haram, أمور مشتبهات, there are some ambiguous affairs, لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس, that are not known by many of the people. And the Prophet ﷺ continues continue to establish principles in relation to them. He said, فَمَنْ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. So whosoever is cautious of and stays away from the shubuhat, then he indeed اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. Then he has indeed preserved and protected his deen and his honor. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. And whosoever falls into those shubuhat, then he falls into haram. And the Prophet ﷺ made an example and a parable and said, كَالرَّاعِي يَرَعَ هَوْلَ الْحِمَى يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَقَعَ فِيهِ. He said, like the shepherd that tends his flock close to the Hima. The Hima is the sanctuary of a king. He is close to falling into it. He said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلَكٍ حِمَاءً. Indeed, every single king has a sanctuary, and the sanctuary of Allah are مَحَارِمُهُ, are the things that he has made haram. And then the Prophet ﷺ sealed the hadith with a greatly and hugely important statement, and that is his statement, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. He said, indeed, in the body there is a morsel. If it is sound, then the whole of the body is sound. And if it is corrupt, then the whole of the body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. This hadith of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is from the ahadith, as we mentioned, that are jami'ah, the ahadith that gather within them tremendous meaning and have a number of principles that are to be taken from them. So indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he began by mentioning the fact that the halal, those things that are permissible in the religion, are bayyin, they are clear. And that the haram, those things that are impermissible, are clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. Between the two of them, there are ambiguous affairs. The statement of the Prophet ﷺ, this initial statement, is one that must be understood in its correct manner. For indeed, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. This is something that is a relative affair. That is to say, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, that indeed the halal is clear, are clear, because the term halal here is a reference to all of the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made halal, and haram are clear, yani all of those things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made haram. Then his statement, وَبَيْنَهُمْ هُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ, between the two of them, the ambiguous affairs. This ambiguity that the Prophet ﷺ spoke of here is a relative ambiguity. That is to say, that it is ambiguity that differs from person to person. Ambiguity that differs from person to person and from individual to individual. And that, therefore, will bring clarity to the fact that this hadith does not contradict the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَى لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. That I've left you upon that which is pure and clear and white. Its night is like its day, and no one deviates away from it except that he is destroyed. There is no contradiction between this hadith and the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir. For indeed, that which the Prophet ﷺ was referring to here from ambiguity is relative ambiguity. Yani, that the things that are halal, Allah Azza wa Jalla has made them crystal clear. يعني مثلا, for example, the طيبات من الرزق. Those things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed mankind with, from the طيبات, from the provisions, يعني naturally growing food and fruit and veg, water, and other than that, from the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made halal, and no two individuals would differ concerning whether they are halal or haram. And then those things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made categorically haram, that no two individuals would differ concerning, يعني killing, theft, murder, يعني القذف, غيبة, those things that are clearly impermissible. Then in between those are the ambiguous affairs that are ambiguous, not in relation to their actual ruling, but ambiguous as it relates to some of the people. That is, they are ambiguous to some, but they are clear and bayin to others. And for that reason, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, that they are not known by many of the people. That is to say, these ambiguous affairs and their ruling and their ambiguity, or the absence of ambiguity, returned back to ilm. And this will highlight to you the importance of knowledge. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, he said they are not known by many of the people. That is to say, this statement, يَعْلَمُهُنَّ, يعني many of the people do not have ilm concerning them. But if one does have ilm, and that ilm is clear and categorical, then it is not from the mushtabihat, as it relates to the one who has ilm of them. And so the affair then, and the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ, but between them are ambiguous affairs, as we mentioned, we reiterate, this ambiguity is relative. Ambiguous to some, those who do not have knowledge concerning the correct ruling in relation to the issue, but clear and bayin to others. Allah then struck for us a reality, and that is, لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, that these are affairs that are not known by many of the people. And that is to say then, that many of the people have aspects of ignorance that cause them to see and consider elements of that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has either made halal or made haram, make they consider it ambiguous. And they consider them ambiguous because of the fact that they do not know. Another issue related to this statement is that Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, and he did not say, لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ. He said that many of the people don't know them, not most of the people. And this is oftentimes misunderstood by some who read the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, most of the people don't know them. This is not what the Messenger of Allah said. He said, many of the people don't know them. But the fact that many people don't know these rulings does not mean and rule out the fact that there are many people who do know those rulings. And so the issue, therefore, is an issue that returns back to levels of knowledge, levels of ilm. And this is a huge encouragement to turn towards seeking knowledge of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, knowledge of the book of Allah, knowledge of the sunnah, knowledge of fiqh of the sharia, usul al-fiqh, lugha, and those sciences that service one's understanding of the religion. For indeed, from the benefits of having ilm is the removal of the shubuhat based upon one's knowledge. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The statement that the Prophet ﷺ went on to make was, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ, and so whomsoever stays away from الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, then he has استبرأ, that is to say, that he has made or is protected and made manifest and clear his deen and his honor. Yani, his deen and his honor are not exposed to falling into the shubuhat and to to the evil effects of doing so. Rather, he has protected his deen and he's protected his honor. In relation to this statement, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, فَقَدْ إِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, that he has clarified or he has his deen and his honor, we need to know that the shubuhat, there are of types, and they are given rulings by the people of knowledge. The scholars they mention from the types of shubuhat, or the type from the types of ishtiba, rather, that is to say, from the types of ambiguity, is the ambiguity concerning the hukum of an affair, and the ruling of an issue. What is the ruling of carrying out a particular affair? A person may have ishtiba because of the fact that he, for example, is unclear about the evidence related to the ruling or related to the affair. Or he's clear about the evidence, but he doesn't know whether or not the evidence is an evidence in the issue. And he's not clear either whether or not there is another piece of evidence that contradicts the hadith or the text that he knows. And so there is ambiguity in relation to the affair for him because he's unclear about the evidence that indicates the issue. Sometimes the ambiguity can return back to the hal of an affair, that is the state of an issue. And sometimes the ambiguity returns back to the ayn of an issue, that is the actual thing itself. And what we mean by the ayn of an issue is, this object, is this object what I think it is, or is this object something else, or someone else's, if that makes sense. So, it may possibly be, for example, that a person confuses some money for someone else's money. Masalan, a man leaves his house, for example, and he goes to step into his car and he sees $10 on the floor. Is that his money, since the $10 is just outside his door, the door of his car, or is it someone else's money? And so here we have ishtibar. Here we have ambiguity, not in relation to the ruling of possessing money, but ambiguity in relation to the object itself. Is it mine or is it someone else's? Then we have ambiguity in relation to the state of an affair. That is to say, something has taken place, an issue, an occurrence, and it causes something from doubt. Ya'ani, a person enters into a transaction with an individual. They agree upon the price. The man takes the money out of his pocket. He begins to take the money out of his pocket. Then someone comes along and he begins to conversate. And then he returns back to the transaction. And he turns back to the man that he was about to buy from. He doesn't have the money in his hand any longer. He has some money in his pocket. His pocket was full, for example, of 20 or $10 notes. He's not too sure how much was in his pocket, but the money that was in his hand, no longer in his hand. Did he give the man the money or not? He's unsure. He asks the individual, did I give you the money? He said, I don't remember. He's a trader. He's at his stall. People are coming, buying and selling. And his stall is active. So he says to the man, did I give you the money? He said, I don't know. I can't remember, to be honest. Here we have ishtibah. Here we have ambiguity in relation to the state of an issue. We do not have any ambiguity in relation to the trade itself, because we're clear that the buying and selling of whatever it is we're about to buy is halal. But the ambiguity that we have now is in relation to the state of this trade itself. Have we exchanged money, or do I still have to pay? Here then we have ambiguity in relation to the state of an affair. So here the Prophet ﷺ, when he spoke then of the umur that are mushtabihat, that the affairs that are related to ishtibah, the affairs that are related to ambiguity, these are affairs that even those states that we mentioned, ambiguity in relation to the state of an issue, ambiguity as it relates to the ayn, and an actual object. Again, we have principles in the religion that govern how those types of ambiguity are to be dealt with. As it relates to the ambiguity in relation to a ruling, is this thing halal or haram? Then, of course, that returns back to knowledge, to ilm. And the one who doesn't know, then he asks the one who does. In relation to the affairs that are ambiguous, connected to the state of an issue, then there are some principles that govern varying states. Now, any principles such as al-yaqeen la yazulu bi-shakk, certainty is not repelled by doubt. And if we doubt that we have given the man the money, but we're certain we haven't, and he likewise doubts, and he's certain that we haven't, then we work with that which we're certain of, and we continue from a standpoint of certainty, which is that we haven't. In relation to the ayn, in relation to an object, for example, that we're uncertain about, then we work with some of the principles in the religion, like looking at qara'in, looking at factors, examining factors. So, for example, the man picks the £10 or the $10 up that he found outside his car, and he finds half a date stuck to the note, and that half is the second half of the half a date that he presently has in his pocket. And so he knows from factors that that actually is his $10. And so there are principles that govern all forms of shubuhat and how we clear those shubuhat up. But the origin is that the removal of those shubuhat return back to ilm. And that is what the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. They are not known by many of the people. Prophet ﷺ, he then said, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْدِهِ. That whomsoever refrains from those shubuhat, refrains from those doubtful matters, فَقَدْ اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْدِهِ. Here is an issue. And this will highlight to us, ikhwan, the precision of this deen and the precision of the statements of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. He said, the one who اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ, yani the one who protects himself from shubuhat, in essence. Here, ittiqa, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say, man taraka shubuhat, whosoever leaves shubuhat. Rather, he said, the one who protects himself in relation to shubuhat. And this is done not only by leaving something, but sometimes it is done by doing something. And thus, it is a indication of the precision of the Sharia. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ittaqa shubuhat." Yani this ittaqa is a reference to him having caution in relation to these shubuhat, and that caution sometimes revolves around leaving something, and sometimes it revolves around doing something. It returns back to doing something. For example, in the example that we mentioned earlier of the man who was unsure whether or not he paid the trader, then removing himself from shubuhat would be to pay the trader, not to refrain from paying because we have ambiguity, or the transaction has ambiguity. Rather here, it is to pay. And so here, refraining from shubuhat is to carry out an action. And sometimes refraining from shubuhat is actually to leave the action alone because of the fact that it is doubtful. And so the Prophet is saying, "Man ittaqa shubuhat," whoever exercises caution in relation to shubuhat, then istabra'a li dinihi wa irdi, then he preserves his deen and his honor. In relation to the statement, he preserves his deen and protects his deen and his honor, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here he mentioned two things that will be preserved and protected if a person is careful in relation to shubuhat. Firstly, his deen, and that no doubt is the case, just as is clear and manifest from those issues that return back to hukum, that return back to a ruling. Yani that if we work with, we refrain from those things that are ambiguous in terms of their ruling, then we preserve our deen. But the Prophet ﷺ likewise mentioned wa'irdihi, and he preserves his honor. And why was the honor mentioned here? The honor has been mentioned here because of the fact that in relation to the affairs of the deen, and that is what is between that individual and Allah Azza wa Jal, while the affairs that are connected to irb, then they are between himself and the creation. And thus, we find from the ahkam of the sharia, those things that remove riba, remove doubt from a person as it relates to other people, yani other people doubting him. And the Prophet saw two men sitting at the back of the masjid after the salah. He said, "Why didn't you pray with us?" They said, "We have prayed at home, O Messenger of Allah." And the Prophet said, "Do not do so. If you come to the masjid and you have already prayed, pray with the jama'ah, wa hiya lakum nafila, and it will be nafila for you. It will be supererogatory for you." Similarly, the people of knowledge, they mention that if a person is a musafir and is a traveler and he's not fasting, then he should not eat publicly in order to preserve his honor in relation to the people believing that he's not fasting, or that he's local and he doesn't fast. And there are numerous scenarios wherein a person, if he refrains from shubuhat, he preserves his honor. A man and his wife are walking on a street on a cold winter night. It is snowing, and the two of them are freezing cold. And so they say, "Let's just go in this alley here and let's hug for a few minutes and try and get some warmth." And so they enter the alley, and while they're in the alley trying to get warm, someone walks past and sees the two of them in the alley. He recognizes Akh Muhammad and he walks on. Here, refraining from shubuhat would be to avoid that type of action, though in relation to the act itself, it is halal. It is permissible for a man to hug his wife. And they have tried to remove themselves from the eyes of the people. But there is an element of shubha in the action that they have carried out that may raise suspicions. Yani the regular Muslim, if he sees an individual doing something such as this, and this is not something that a person would carry out ordinarily with his wife. It appears that they're hiding. And so perhaps it is not his wife. These are issues that are and have in them ishtiba, issues that have in them ambiguity that are to be refrained from. And thus the Prophet ﷺ, he said, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. He protects his deen and his honor. For that reason, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned, they say, مَنْ وَرَضَ مَوَارِدَ التُّهَمْ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ مَنْ أَسَاءَ الظَّنَّ بِهِ. That those individuals, or the individual who places himself in places and situations of tuham, situations wherein he may be suspected of something, then he should not blame the one who has bad suspicions concerning him. The Muslim, he refrains from tuham. He refrains from those things that may cause suspicions to be raised. And for this reason, this hadith itself is one of the ahadith the scholars of hadith use in relation to the fiqh and the knowledge of jarh wa ta'dil, the knowledge of disparaging narrators. Them speaking about narrators returns back to what is apparent from their actions and from their riwayat and from the things that are established concerning them. And so this hadith was used by the scholars of hadith for that reason. It is from the numerous texts that the scholars of hadith use to formulate the principles of jarh wa ta'dil, of disparaging or of praising individuals. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَمَا وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. And whosoever falls into shubuhat, then he falls into haram. And of course, in terms of him falling into haram, it doesn't necessitate that the one that falls into shubuhat, that every time a person carries out a shubha, then he's done that which is haram. Rather, that the person who carries out or falls into shubuhat is likely to fall into haram. And Al-Imam Ibn Yaqeet Al-A'id, in his explanation of this hadith, he mentions that the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, يعني مَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, those who fall into shubuhat, they fall into haram. He said that this is understood in two ways. That is to say, that the one who, or those who fall into shubuhat, fall into, and are acquainted with falling into doubtful matters, and carrying out doubtful matters, then they are on the verges of falling into haram. And secondly, he mentions that the one who falls into doubtful matters, then he may be falling into haram without knowing, because it's doubtful to him. And so him doing it and carrying it out, he doesn't know. Is the ruling of the thing that he's carrying out halal, or is the ruling of the thing that he's carrying out haram? So from two angles, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, either he's on the verges of falling into haram because him continually doing so, then this affair of taqwa and piety that should be in his heart is removed. And he finds it easy now to fall into dangerous waters. Or secondly, as Ibn Yaqeet Al-A'id, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that he, because of the fact that he doesn't know the ruling of the thing that he's doing, but he falls into haram because he doesn't know what it is he's carried out. And the Prophet ﷺ made clear that he doesn't necessitate that him doing that doubtful matter is automatically haram. That is to say, because of the fact that he carried out a doubtful matter, then he is now under the threat of punishment, just as one who carried out a haram matter would be. He said, كَالْرَاعِي يَرْعَى هَوْلَ الْحِيمَى, like the shepherd who tends his flock close to a sanctuary. يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَقَعَ فِيهِ, and in some riwayat, أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ. He said, like the shepherd who tends his flock close to a sanctuary, he is close to falling into it. Yushik, and he is close to doing so. Which indicates, since the Prophet ﷺ struck this example to clarify the statement, وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, we understand therefore that it doesn't necessitate that he automatically falls into haram, but he's on the verges of falling into haram, or that he may even have fallen into haram without knowing, because he didn't know the ruling of the thing that he carried out. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلَكٍ حَيِّمًا أَلَا وَإِنَّ هِمَ اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُ. Indeed, every king has a sanctuary, and every on the sanctuary of Allah Azza wa Jal are the maharim, are those things that Allah Azza wa Jal has made haram. And then the Prophet ﷺ sealed the hadith with the beautiful statement indicating the thing that governs and should govern the lives of each and every one of us, and does govern the bodies of each and every one of us and our actions. أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. That indeed in the body there is a morsel. If it is sound, the whole of the body is sound, and if it is corrupt, then the whole of the body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. That is to say, Allah Azza wa Jal has placed within you, Ya Ibn Adam, a morsel that you should be ardent about keeping sound, and that is the heart. For indeed, the heart governs everything that the body does. The action, the things that one says, the things that one carries out, the places they go, the things that are of interest to an individual. The person has and finds himself having nothing but interest in that which displeases Allah Azza wa Jal. He's interested in what the kuffar are doing, he's interested in their culture, he's interested in their music, he's interested in their lifestyle, is interested in everything that is about them. And then when it comes to the believers, he doesn't want to be around them. He has no interest for the circles of knowledge. He has no interest in increasing in knowledge. It doesn't concern him that there will be a gathering over the weekend of the believers in the masjid. It doesn't concern him that there are issues related to the aqidah and the methodology that we need to learn about and be careful of. None of that concerns him. When we find that occurring, then we have to question that morsel that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed in our bodies to govern our bodies. Some of us, ikhwan, may possibly have hearts that are dying and we don't even realize. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the hearts are of three types. Qalbun hay, the heart that is alive, the heart that is dead, secondly, and then qalbun mariyad. The first of them, the heart that is alive, qalbun hay. Then the second, the heart that is dead, qalbun mayyit. And the third, the heart that is sick, qalbun mariyad. That heart that is sick is a heart that may be salvaged, but the owner of that heart has to work upon it. So he mentions in relation to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. That indeed, إِنَّ is a reminder, يعني in the Quran, is a reminder for the one who has a heart, أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ, or puts his hearing forward, وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, and he bears witness. He said, why did Allah Azza wa Jal in this verse say, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ. That indeed in this is a reminder for one who has a heart, or he puts his hearing forward. And why didn't Allah say, and puts his hearing forward? He mentions that is because of the fact that from the people there are those who have hearts that are hay, hearts that are alive. And so it is only for him to hear the verses of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he's affected by them. And then he mentions, and from the people, those whose hearts are ill, mariyah, or mayyit. And so it requires for them to first listen, use the instruments of hearing, listen to what is being said, listen to the words of the book, listen to that which is connected to the sunnah, and then reflect upon what he is hearing. And that listen, and although him hearing and his reflection, will go on to have a knock-on effect upon his heart and begin to remove the darkness that has covered it. But he must first listen to that which Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning. In relation to this hadith, Sheikh bin Uthaymeen, he mentions the fact that the heart, or this hadith is an indication of the fact that the heart is the place of the intellect. The heart is the place of the intellect. Since the Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. In the heart there is a morsel of flesh. If it is sound, then the whole of the body is sound. And if it is corrupt, then the whole of the body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. And this has in it an indication of the fact that the heart is the place of the intellect, not the brain, as some people will believe. Now, the brain may have a connection to the intellect, but the origin and the headquarters of the intellect is the heart. And thus, you'll find those who may be intelligent doing some of the most ridiculous things, are coming to some of the most ridiculous conclusions, and sometimes those foolish intellectuals are the ones that govern our societies and lay the laws within some of the places that some of us live in. And so that, in that, though they may be blessed with intelligence, it doesn't necessitate that they have a cool working intellects that are based upon sound hearts. And indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has established the fact that the heart is the place of the intellect. It is in Surah Hajj. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونُ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. Allah mentions, will they not travel through the earth so that they will have hearts يعقلون بها, that they think with, yeah, hearts that have intellect, or hearing that they hear with, and ears that they hear with. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. So indeed, it is not the heart, it is not the eyes that are blind, but the قُلُوب, the hearts, that are in the chests. نَسَأَلُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَنْ يُوَفِّقَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ لِمَا يُحِبُّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ, وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ, وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.